Hello and welcome.
Hello.
I'm Heather.
I'm Laura.
And we're Sweet Sweet Death. Here we go. So, I don't know, crazy day today for me. I had a parent-teacher conference. It went pretty well. High praises. And every single one was like, yeah, she just really needs to focus. I was like, yeah, we feel the same way. Yeah. So, but yeah, other than that, it was cool. We went to the Manitou Art Center, which is just super, super fucking cool. There was so much shit there that, like, I know you would love. Because they have a little storefront that they make. Like, this woman makes all this jewelry there. And it is some of the coolest freaking jewelry I've ever seen. Where it was like, I was like, oh, I could get Laura that for Christmas. I could get Laura that for Christmas. Literally, like, I probably said that 10 fucking times. So I was like, I just need to tell her to come in here and, like, look.
I've really been wanting to go. I was telling someone else about it, too.
What? Oh. Okay, that was our first interruption. Whoops-a-daisy. I forgot John was going to be home a little earlier than he said, so. Okay, anyway, what the fuck were you saying?
I think you were saying something to me about the art center.
Shit.
But
you'll love it.
Yeah.
Yay.
So is it like interactive or something?
You can. So you have to, like, they have a bunch of labs there. They have like a metal shop, wood shop, textile stuff. The only thing is you have to get certification for all of them. So you can go and take a class. Oh. I think those do cost money. I think the membership is technically free, but if you want to have access to those, that equipment at any time, whenever they're open, that's like $50 a month, I think. But if you really utilize it for your, if that's like your work,
instead of buying all those tools.
Yeah. Oh, and they have a ton of equipment there. And they have like a little art gallery. They have a little library. It's so fucking cute, dude.
I really want to go. Oh my God. I feel like I can't even picture where it is. It's in Manitou?
It's in Manitou. It's like, you know, before that big, like, you hit that curve and then, like, you start to see the shops just kind of like, there's that public parking. So it's a little before that. There's like a Manitou Heritage Center. I think it's between that ski shop. Do you know that kind of Colorado ski shit? Yeah. It's not too much further down the road. Oh, it's on the left. And it's just like a little gray building. It says Mac. It says Mac on it. Yeah. It's so fucking
Maybe
adorable.
I'll take my siblings and stuff while they're here.
You should. Oh my God, you guys will freak the fuck out over that jewelry. She had such cool shit. There were like little eyeballs on necklaces, bunch of metaphysical stuff.
Cute.
And then just crazy shit. There was like some Studio Ghibli jewelry she had.
Really?
Oh my God, dude, you're going to lose it when you go there. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Now that that's out of the way, what's up with you and your beautiful tattoo?
I love it. It's so amazing. The guy was like super fast. Yeah. Okay, actually, it was kind of crazy because when I first got in there.
Oh, wait. You should tell the story about. Remember Wednesday? Oh, that's the last time we recorded. Yeah. We're like, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Good
so
luck.
I was supposed to get my tattoo Wednesday, but I got a fucking hotel, drove to Denver, all this fucking shit. I'm like, literally, I just finished getting ready and I was like, about to like go down and get breakfast and like my phone goes off and I look and they're like, hey, Laura, Jason was like up all night, like sick. He feels really horrible, but we're not going to be able to make it in today. Like, da da da.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I was kind of salty and I was like, oh, like, dang, I drove up last night or whatever.
Yeah. But... like, well, because it costs money. Like, all that time freaking out. Like, you had to rush here.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, we got to get you the fuck out of here.
I slept so horrible. That hotel, too, like, I just could not sleep. I literally slept like 2 hours, maybe, because I was like so nervous, too. You know, because I was thinking I was going to get my tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then, like, also like at work we had been listening to these like creepy stories and apparently it's true, but you know who knows, because it was on the internet, but this chick had like downloaded a sleep app and at night she started hearing like a weird like clicking, and then like she like, because the app would like record you and let you know if you're sleep talking, stuff like that, and apparently there's like this weird voice and she like sits up and she's like, what are you doing?
Ew.
And then because that there's that clicking and the clicking stops and then it's like nothing. And it's like, sounds like terrifying. But like I was laying in bed and I kept thinking about this story and I was like, and I would like look over and I just felt like so nervous and like I woke up at like fucking 3 a.m. and I wanted water and like it just was creepy because like the ice machine was like dripping in the hallway and I was like, I'm gonna die. But like Yeah, so they canceled my fucking appointment. I was like, oh. Then I was like super bummed. So I just drove home. I was like, whatever. Because I was like, oh, maybe I could do something in Denver. But then I was like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna go.
Because like, you're by yourself.
Yeah, and, I'm like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Really, not even like go to Cherry Creek Mall and see what the rich people do.
I thought about it actually as I had like already passed it, and I was like, too late.
Yeah,
because I really wanted to go to Lush, and then I was like, oh, I could get like some bath stuff.
Fucking Lush. That's true. If sometimes I have like, if I'm in Denver, I'll be like, maybe I should stop by Lush. Yeah. Like I've literally like, oh, that could be a double stop. You know.
Yeah, so I really wanted to stop by there, but then I was like, too late, because I had looked on my GPS, it was like 20 minutes, I was like, I'm already going home, so I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I didn't get my tattoo, then the week goes by, and then the night before my tattoo again was the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh,
have you ever been to a live one?
I haven't.
Dude.
Okay.
We have to go. It was so fucking hilarious. So fun. They were like crazy. Like everyone was dressed up, like men in like fucking Speedos.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. They did like virgin sacrifices. So they're like, they had like all the virgins with like a V or whatever up on their like, obviously like versions of Rocky Horror.
Yeah, yeah.
Actual virgins. Yeah. But like... And they had them go up and do weird things. Like, the woman had this voice, too, where, like, it was, like, that fake voice where she's like, now, darling. Like, I can't even do it. But it was, like, so good. And, like, they had them, like, fake orgasms and, like, different, like, voices. Like, Shrek and Xena and, like,
Mickey Mouse. Oh, my God.
Like, just, like, weird shit. One of our friends who came with us, like, she had to bend down and touch her ankles, like, in front of the whole audience. And then we all yelled, like, fuck you, virgins. She's like, there, now you've just been fucked by the audience.
Oh, my God.
It was so fun. It was really fun. I brought Dom or whatever, my roommate, and he was getting into it too. He had the little fucking newspaper on his head. He's like swinging the glow stick. I was like, all right, this is fun.
That sounds amazing.
I was like, man, Heather really needs to come to one of these because it was so hilarious. And they have like a heckler or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the front, I think he like was part of the show.
Yeah.
And like just like every time, because like, you know how there's like those certain things people will say with like Rocky Horror. So
yeah.
He'd be, the guy in the movie will be like, hey, Janet. And then the heckler's like, sit on my face and wiggle or whatever. And it's just like, it's like fucking hilarious. I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so then I like had a few drinks, and when I got home, I like passed out hard.
Oh, good.
And like I woke up in the morning, I was like, oh, I felt like kind of sick. I was like,
oh actually not good, because they say like you don't want to drink alcohol the night before.
I know. I was like, wow, I really broke all the rules. Yeah. But
I slept.
Yeah. But yeah, I like slept like a baby, just drove up. I got there like early, so I had breakfast at City O City, like the little like,
oh my goodness,
chicken and waffles. Yeah. With like cauliflower, so fucking good, because I've been craving it, and potatoes, and yeah, it was super nice. And then yeah, I got to my appointment, and then the guy, when I got there, he's like, Caitlin? And I was like, no, Laura. And then he's like, oh, sorry, I'm fucking confused. Yeah. And then, like, I was like, it's fine or whatever. So he's, like, having me sign all the papers. He starts, like, doing the thing where he's going to, like, draw it out and all of that. And then, like, this girl comes rushing in. She's like, sorry, I'm late. Like, I hit traffic on the way up here. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, we're both, like, looking at each other. And then he's, like, looking at us. And he's like, did you have an appointment? She was like, yeah. And he's like, I'm so fucking sorry. He's like, she did not write it on the book. So they literally like double booked someone. But I guess it's someone he'd been doing her like leg sleeve.
Oh,
so
no.
She like knew him. She was okay. Like, it's fine. Like, da-da-da.
Oh,
she was
God.
Like super cool about it. But I was just like, it was like so awkward. I was like,
So Caitlin. Yeah. That was Caitlin, huh?
I thought it was so funny. I was like, okay. So yeah, then.
What would you have done if he looked at you and been like,
I know, right?
Sorry.
I would have been so pissed. I'd be like, no. Like,
all right, I have to go to somebody else.
Yeah, literally.
Fuck this.
Like, give me my $100 back.
Right?
No.
Amen.
Yeah, so, so I ended up getting a tattoo. It like was super easy. Like he was like, oh, we're starting in a super rough spot, blah, blah, blah. Like, but actually like wasn't that bad for me. Like I was like,
I don't think tattoos affect you, because like the fact that you tattooed your foot and you were like, I just sat there and it just felt like a tickle. Like, fuck you. I suffered through all of these like so painfully.
Yeah, the because he even was like, man, this isn't really bothering you, is it? And I was like, no, this feels fine. He's like, people usually squirm when I'm at this part. I was like, oh no, I'm fine.
How long was it?
4 hours.
That's fucking fast. Again, you go to the fastest fucking people.
I know. I was thinking that.
God
I was
damn
like,
it.
Dang,
my guy who really took his fucking sweet fucking time on my foot, who like dragged it out literally, and then, you know, 2 5-hour fucking sessions, and I felt bad because he wanted to add pink the last little bit because she's got chain on her. It's a Lana Del Rey, and she's got chain. And he was like, I think I'm going to do this pink. And I was like, no, you're not, because we're done. Like, I literally said that. I was like, you're absolutely not going to do that. I'm so fucking over this. So, and it was like, it's beautiful the way it is. Just fucking leave it alone. I think it really pissed him off because I noticed he did not post it on Instagram. Really? I was like, okay.
My guy didn't post mine either. And then I was like having anxiety. I was like, did he not like it? Like,
I thought because I thought maybe the Zach Singer guy thought I was like a bitch or something, or she wouldn't let me. Yeah. I am the artist here, you know. Yeah. But, and also I knew financially it was like, we have to fucking stop right here.
Yeah. But I was reading too, like online, sometimes artists like won't post things just because like it's hard to really like photograph things that like wrap, things like that. So who fucking knows? But I don't know. I was thinking that too. I was like, what if like he didn't like me? Like, then I was like, is it bad? And then I was like, no. But I like my tattoos, so whatever.
Yeah.
If posted, then oh well. Mm-hmm. But the only part that hurt was like at the very end after he'd like finished everything. He's like, all right. He's like, I'm going to go in with white, like just to make it pop. He's like, sorry if like it's a little brutal. And that part was like, I was like, okay. Like, yeah, I was like, because then he goes back down here from where he was like 4 hours ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. Because I've heard that. I've heard, like, okay, because I watch a lot of, like, YouTube tattoo artists just, like, chat, and almost all of them say that it's the white, because they're, like, you're going over stuff that's already been really irritated, it's puffy, it's tender, and then you go and you, like, dig that white in to get those
And it was,
pops.
Like, it was, like, he really had to get it in there. I was, like, oh, God, like... Like, it was making my foot twitch, and I couldn't even, like, help it. It was just, like, twitching, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, because I remember, too, like, the last hour with Zach Singer. So, that's from, I'm on 9 hours, right? Yeah. Like, total for this tattoo in 2 days. And he sprayed that like, numbing stuff that I don't think I could have gone through that last hour if he had not put that spray on it. Because once that pain started to come back, that's when I was like, we're done.
Yeah, it seems horrible, especially that you had to like go to bed and then wake up and get it tattooed over again.
It wasn't like too bad, but I was like, I remember having anxiety, like, when he starts, this is gonna be so much worse than yesterday. But I would do it again, like, if I, fuck yeah, like, to me, it's worth it. All
I already texted them again. I was like, I want to book my next appointment.
So what's your plan for a sleeve? Are you planning on doing, like, a whole video game thing or just?
Okay, so I was thinking that I'll do, like, from here down, like, Last of Us, maybe just get, like, just finish this off so it kind of blends, like, like, ruins or something like that.
Are you sticking with all black and gray or did
you? Yeah, nice. And then I'll show you what I really want. I want to get, so you know who H.R. Geiger is? I don't know.
Yes. Okay. Oh, is that the aliens guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so okay, I want to show you this fucking photo I found because it's so awesome.
That dude is incredible.
I really want this like on my like.
Whoa, that's fucking like bananas. Here, like,
I think that would be cool. But...
Yes. You're a spooky girl. So you should have spooky things.
So I just want to have like a spooky sleeve, just like creepy.
I love
it. Yeah, so and then while I was getting tattooed, too, there was, like, this fucking fly. And, like, it was just, like, would not leave us alone.
Yeah.
And my tattoo artist was getting so pissed. He kept, like, trying. He's like, I'm going to get it. And then he would, like, swipe for it. And he, like, fucking missed it. We thought we got it. Then we fucking missed it. Then it lands on me. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get it. And we're both just, like watching it. And then I, like, fucking slapped it and, like, fucking died. And we're like, whoa.
Yeah. Never.
And then the other dude who's getting tattooed and his guy, they, like, look over. He's like, sorry, we're getting excited about killing a fly over here. And then but that was basically it. And because I was in Denver and my car doesn't lock, I was like, oh, some fucking hobo is gonna get in my car. And of course I get out to my car, my door is open,
are you
console open,
fucking serious? Did you like make sure there was nothing? No purses.
I just hidden had under tons of clue fucking games. I had a ton of trash in there. And I was like, oh, my food is still here, so I'm happy.
There you go. They wouldn't take your vegan food.
And then literally as I'm leaving, there's like a hobo. It looked like he was like just like set up like right there in the front. I was like, that's probably the guy. And then he's like, can I have a dollar? And I was just like,
you've had enough.
But so that was my tattoo experience. And
yay.
My week, basically, the most eventful things. Oh, yesterday at work, apparently I was acting weird or something. So my coworker was like, are you high? Were you high earlier?
What?
I was like, no, because you know how like weird sounds and sometimes dance around and do weird things.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, sometimes you get bored.
Yeah. But I was just like doing weird things. I was like, yeah. I don't know, you know. I was just like fucking around, but I guess like she thought I was high or something, and I was like, no, that's just me. Like, sorry, I'm not.
Yeah. I'm high on life, baby.
Yeah, I was like, I don't smoke anymore, but
yeah. Oh, I went to this like, it was like a big indoor vendor thing. I don't know, a farmer's market type thing, and I saw some CBD stuff, and I was like, oh, could. But you know those things. It's all like handmade shit, yeah, and it's like crazy. So and we're like, you'll look at it and you'll be like, I know I could do that if I wanted to, and I'm not going to pay $130 for a glue, like a glued on piece of wood to a canvas. I'm out. But there was some CBD there, and I went and I looked, and I was like, oh, what do they have? And he just had, like, concentrated oil, and it was, like, the lowest price thing was $80. And I was like, I don't fucking think
so. I really want some bath salts, like, so bad. I love those. I think, actually, it was, like, THC and CBD, those bath salts. But I, like, love them. I really want some, like, make some, I don't know. But
you were in Denver. You should have gone to a fucking dispensary.
I didn't even think I don't even know like where to get them or if there's places who like.
I just remember like, the Green Solution had a ton of like lotions and like other stuff. Yeah. But I've never really looked at it because I'm there for other purposes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know they have like a sort of beauty-ish or type section. Huh. So you should check it out.
I'll just Google it. Have you?
I'm sorry, I forgot. I did get you something. I got you a little moth, a little moth patch.
How cute! Right, I love it.
I got this for it's like a skeleton unicorn.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna put that on one of Mary's like jackets or something.
I need to put this on something. I wonder.
Fuck yeah, man!
I love it. Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, I totally forgot. It's been in my pocket all day. So I just felt it. I was like, oh, I gotta give it to her. I feel bad. You were gonna say something, and then I.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you've heard about the Van Gogh immersion or something.
Yes,
like that.
And I just, you know, toes are getting chopped off at her house. Yeah. Tires needed replacing. Yeah. It's just probably not going to happen. But I think it goes through to next year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. If I can, like, get my shit together and get, like, a job.
I was thinking about that, like, in December maybe or something. Yeah. I think it goes till then. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just wondering.
I did watch a documentary. I need to tell you about it. It's on Amazon. I think it's free with ads. It's one of those.
Okay.
But it's worth it. It's about, if you want to learn more about the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. I have known about this for a long time.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't know very much about it. We've heard like little anecdotes about it, like, oh, instead of amen, they say ramen, like shit like
what
that.
The fuck?
it's completely made up. It's it's farcical, it's complete parody. It's mocking other religions, like basically. That's its whole purpose. But it's fucking hilarious. Okay, there are people in the Netherlands that are trying to get it recognized as an actual religion.
Really?
Like, because they're very, like, a lot more secular there. And if you're not secular, they say you're, like, typically Catholic.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're kind of being, like, brats about it a little bit, I think. But there are people, there are motherfucking members of parliament in the Netherlands that go to work with a little fucking colander on their head as protest to make it a real religion, dude.
What the fuck?
Look this shit up. It's crazy. There's like people in a restaurant, just they've all got fucking colanders on their head, just eating lunch like it's nothing. It's so fucking funny.
So weird. That's funny.
We were just laughing because it's like, you know, it's in like Dutch, but it's like, he boiled for your sins. Shit. It's so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch this.
You fucking should. You'll learn about a whole new religion. So, and then, I don't know if you heard, so the Church of Satan actually does really good work out there. Have you ever seen
that?
Oh, yeah,
I've actually, yeah.
That they sued Texas for violating, like, women's rights something because of the whole abortion
bill. Yeah, I was actually reading about that last night.
And I did find it hilarious that it's the Church of Satan that is doing the Lord's work in protecting women. I just found that funny. Humorous. Fuck, man. Wow. Anyway, so yeah, those are my religious dives for the week. Church of Satan, Flying Spaghetti Monster. I take this very seriously.
I've never heard of this Flying Spaghetti Monster.
It's so great. If you actually ever see, like, there's bumper stickers. It looks like a little plate of spaghetti, but the meatballs are eyeballs.
Yeah.
And it says FSM on it. Huh. So if you ever see that.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God, I might belong, like, truly to the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I definitely do, because... That's my favorite food, so.
Oh, there you, dude, that's it. And it's so funny, they have like a picture of, you know where it's like Adam creating, or I'm sorry, God creating Adam?
Yeah.
The Michelangelo, but instead of like God, it's the spaghetti monster. And he's like, there's like a piece of noodle like reaching out to Adam, you know, like on the Sistine Chapel. Yeah. It's fucking great. Ridiculous. It's everywhere. I respect it. I respect them. I wouldn't wear a colander on my head, though. Yeah.
A little much, maybe for fun.
For funsies, if I went to like, if I was like going to quote unquote church and like,
yeah,
I would do it.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's funny. Great. Hmm. Yay.
I'll make Dylan watch it. Oh, that's what I wanted to show you. I did like just like online, like a painting tutorial. It was like for two canvases, but it was like, oh, you can do it with, like, someone else if you want, blah, blah, blah. But it came out super cute. I want to show you because it was, like, couples painting, but we did it, like, at my house or whatever.
Yeah. Girl, oh, my God. You guys did such a good job. Yeah, which one was
cute? I think mine is on the left side.
Okay. And his is on the right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cute, man.
Yeah, I thought it was super fun. I was like, oh, like a little pumpkin. And it was weird because that's like the only one I could find. And it just so happened to be like fall theme. And I was like, sweet.
Like, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. But oh, and then as far as art stuff goes, yeah, I've just been doing like her crafts. Halloween costume. So she wants to be Bennett from Genshin Impact. So I made goggles from like old swim goggles. And then I made her a little cardboard belt that has his little symbol on it. Ooh. So it fits onto the belt.
How did you make that star?
I cut just pieces of cardboard and stuck it together. It was really easy. I just took the pattern out and bent it. They didn't fit perfectly, but I kind of filled it in, you know? So it worked.
Yeah, looks good. It's not fun.
Not too bad. And then I have to make another weird little wrist guard. And then, you know, I swore, like, when I was recovering from surgery that when I get up and moving, because my mom bought me a sewing machine 2 years ago. And I guess what I have not fucking touched that sewing machine. But I really want to learn. Yeah. And I was like, man, when I'm healing, I'm going to be down there all the time. I'm going to learn how to sew. And I have not touched that thing, man. Sad. It remains unmoved from where I placed it.
Well, once you figure it out, I need to know, because I also have said that I was going to sew my niece a blanket. And I bought all this stuff for it before she was born. And I was like, oh, I'll give it to her on her
birthday.
And yeah.
How old is she now?
She's turning one on the first.
Oh, so. Okay. That's not too bad. I thought you were going to be like, she's seven.
No. No.
So, one is not that bad. It can be her 2-year-old birthday or a Christmas present or who knows.
Yeah, I need to figure it out.
What theme is it?
So, okay, I wanted to, when my sister and I were kids, we had blankets. I had like Pooh Bear and she had Peter Rabbit blanket. And cute. I wanted to like recreate that blanket. Yeah. So I bought the stuff to like recreate it. And yeah.
So far, it is a no-go.
Yeah, I don't even know where this stuff is now, honestly.
Yeah, because she has a blanket that's falling apart and I really need to fix it. And yeah, if I can figure that out. And my mom said, start small. She's like, make a pillowcase. Like, do not get ambitious. You start with a pillowcase.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I will start with a pillowcase. Yeah, but it's like, I know I'm going to have to watch YouTube. I don't even know how to thread it. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I took, like, home ec and I remember learning in, like, middle school, but I've forgotten that by now.
So. Yeah. So, and then the other thing, too, like, because she's really into, like, goth stuff and metal and shit and, like... I honestly didn't see this coming, truly. Anyway, so a lot of the stuff she likes, it's like, I like it too, but it's like expensive three times fun. More than just a kid buying getting a shirt. Because yours has like studs and leather and whatever the fuck else on it. So yeah, it's like, I know we can make cool shit like that. And I want to get her to like... watch a season of Project Runway with me or something and get her like all inspired. So, and I know we should probably start soon, but like one funny thing that happened to me this morning, I was working out and it's not like hilarious, but I was on that yoga ball. So I was doing something with weights, and then I like rolled and I started to get up too soon. And then like the ball rolled away from me, but I'm too like weak and fat to like totally get myself up. So I was like suspended in air yeah. for like a cartoon almost. I'm like, and then I was like, and I like just rolled back. I just fell over. I was like, just fell over with my weights. I like collapsed in on myself. I was like, I'm a fucking idiot.
That actually reminded me of something that happened during Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
So this lady, she was like really big dude, like probably like 400 pounds or something. Oh, and man. It was her birthday, I guess. And they called her up on stage. And they had, like, the chairs, and the lady's like, have a seat. And so the woman in front of the whole audience tries to be, like, sexy and straddle the chair backwards.
No.
And she just fucking fell, dude. Like, just fell backwards. Like, I think they had lights on the stage. Into the lights, there was, like, you just hear, like, glass shatter.
Oh, my
And then she's just, like, laying on the stage. And everyone's like, and then like my friend's boyfriend was like, at first I thought it was part of the show, then I saw how concerned everyone is, and I was like, no, this isn't part of the show. And then the lady's like, you're fine, and she's still just like laying there. It took her like 5 minutes to get up, and then I was like, oh my god. But fuck. Yeah, I was just thinking about how mortifying that would be. It's like, shit.
That reminds me of also one more thing. God damn it, this is it. Okay. It not nearly that drastic. Yeah. No one was concerned for anyone's health. It was just kind of embarrassing for the girl, but like it was Dropkick Murphys, and you know how they bring up as the last show last song, Kiss Me I'm Shitface, and they bring up as many girls as they can on stage.
Yeah.
Which you almost got to, except for that drunk Viking guy that like tore you away so he could climb on stage. God, you were so close.
I know,
Laura.
It was like literally like
I remember I was like, we're gonna get you on that fucking stage.
And then that fucking guy shirtless, like all sweaty. He's like,
he was like three times my size, dude. I'm a big girl. And like, well, he was just like tall and like meaty. Just like, like I just remember it was like very cartoonish where he just like flung you out of the way like a monster.
Yeah. So sad. I always think about that.
Oh, but like, so this girl, I was just, I won't get into it, but I was pregnant as a surrogate. That's another story for another time. But I was at the concert. I knew I couldn't drink. I knew I couldn't be active. So we were up in the balcony just sitting and great show. But Kiss Me, I'm Shitface comes on, and this poor girl, because like everyone's like cheering and having a blast. Nothing nearly to the degree. But this girl starts to get up, but she's like a bigger girl, man. And they're like trying to drag her up. And then her like ass like just comes out. And it's so funny because the entire audience goes, oh. It was like, rock, 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 rock. Oh. Because I know I did it too. I was like, oh.
Oh my gosh. Whoops, how embarrassing.
Daisy. Yeah. Like, not nearly as embarrassing as like trying to sexy straddle a chair and like knocking yourself out. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh,
with a bunch of dudes in Speedos.
Yeah,
like,
literally. Oh yeah, it was pretty.
Did anyone like come, like did a bunch of men have to come
over?
Yeah,
people were
like
coming
up.
Some people had like a broom. They're like, don't touch the glass. Like,
so what glass broke? Okay, so
I
the chair,
don't fucking
but like,
because I was so far back, but because it was like on the stage, and it's like a vintage theater, and like I know like they had like lights and things, and like I don't know what it was, but she shattered something.
Oh my god!
Yeah, just, and then like she got back up. They had her like sit down in the chair, and then she was just like, you could just tell like that's what she was thinking about.
Bitch,
I was like, happy birthday.
Yeah. Good thing you. Oh, that was a bad gamble. Why did you do that?
It's like, dude, don't.
She must have been drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Okay, so I'm gonna go first. The first thing I'm starting with, Laura, is sources. Okay, I got mine from most of it. I got from this great little documentary, and again, free with ads on Amazon, because that's. Anyway, so CNN Film, Enlighten Us, The Rise and Fall of James Arthur Ray. Oh, I'm doing mine about James Arthur Ray. The DailyBeast.com, there was an interview by Nick looks like Shager with Jenny Brown, which was the mother of one of the victims. ArizonaCentral.com. There was an article by Alden Woods. CNN Inside the Sweat Lodge by Ann O'Neill was the other article I got from. Okay. On October 8th, 2009, James Arthur Ray, a well-known motivational speaker that had been on national news networks, talk shows, podcasts, etc., he convinced over 50 people who had already spent the previous days meditating and fasting to pack themselves tightly and uncomfortably inside a rinky-dink sweat lodge. Within hours, three people were dead. James had fled the scene, and the site was swarming with paramedics and police officers. Everyone pointed the finger at James Arthur Ray, and he felt it was everyone else's fault, basically, because he is not a man that takes responsibility for his actions. He's a
psychopath.
I will start with that. Okay. So, I felt that listening to this man talk, he was super preachy. Mm-hmm. And it turns out because his own father was a Protestant minister. So that's how he grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So they said that his father was a hellfire and brimstone type of minister. So like everything's fucking doom and gloom and they are coming for you. They're coming for your guns. They're coming for it's the devil. His father was the type of minister that believed in the healing power of prayer. And he would encourage people to not go to the hospital, that you just come on down and pray for it. In his father's defense, none of his congregation ever died. So maybe his dad was just better at it. Yeah. And then it turns out his mother was extremely stern. So she would not let them go see movies. They weren't fucking allowed to. And she felt that pinball was a form of gambling because you could, if you were good enough, sometimes you could win a free game. Oh. So she felt like that was like gambling.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it sounds like they had like no fun as children. Before he started his motivational career, he worked for AT&T, and this blew my fucking mind because the you should see him beaming with like pride as he tells the story. He gave himself so much credit for being a cool boss because he liked to blast Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. And he's like, nobody else was doing that. I was the only one. Like, he was such a fucking narcissist. He's like, you know, I knew that I was a cool boss. I was like, fucking take it easy.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Like, everyone was blasting Welcome to the Jungle. And I'm going to say it. It's not a good fucking song.
I hate that song. I know. I hate Guns N' Roses. I'm sorry.
Me too, dude. I don't like Axl Rose. I think he's obnoxious. And I hate his voice. Okay. So because of his incredible coolness that he felt just like resonated through him, he wanted to provide coolness training to other delusional bosses in the corporate environment. So eventually he took it into like a more metaphysical way. I guess it was a little later down the road, but so he moved to California to take a chance at better opportunities, but was struggling. It wasn't until he saw Tony Robbins speak, which was another annoying motivational guy, that he said he felt like he was at a rock concert. So Tony Robbins, he's like, I don't know. Again, like, you've been to church enough. You know that tone. You know that canter. Like, you understand. It's just someone, like, the dramatic pauses, the, like, whisper sometimes when they're like, and you know that you understand. And they
play that music in the background where it's like.
Oh, my God. It makes me so angry. So listening to these motivational speakers, it felt a lot like that. And most of them are religious, it feels like, you know, end of every segment, they're like, God bless, and everyone's like, fuck yeah, brother, God bless. It's out of control. But he felt like he was at a rock concert, he said. So like, I'm thinking of his Guns N' Roses like delusions, that he's like this badass boss. Yeah. I think he thought like, I'm gonna be a fucking rock star too. So yeah, that was his version of like playing rock god, being a motivational speaker, I guess. He saw what Tony Robbins was doing, and he thought, I, too, want to make middle-aged white ladies cry in front of large crowds about their childhoods. And so he went forth, and he did that. He did take his own spin with an aggressively tough love approach, so he could be very confrontational. He could make people feel very vulnerable and uncomfortable through a sort of exposure therapy. So because I spent most summers at Christian camps and youth seminars, it really reminded me of those because, like, people show up with a desperation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where everybody's just, like, so desperate to be healed and, like, they're going to find the love of Jesus that summer. Like, this is all the yeah. answers. Like, I've got it. I know I can do it. And it's like, we're 16. Like, what the fuck? So this really reminded me, I had to tell this story about, I went to a CIY conference, which was Christ in Youth.
Yeah.
And there was somehow, I don't know how it started, because this wasn't an exercise. It just accidentally happened. Yeah. Where one girl just like got really emotional and she's like, I just want to say that I forgive my father for one night when he and my mom got into a fight and he went and he got drunk and got arrested. I forgive him. And like she goes into this like just this one night, I guess he got drunk and arrested and she like forgave him for that. And then the next person next to her gets emotional and then they start to tell a personal story. And in my head, I'm like, oh shit.
Please don't.
This is happening. Fuck. And I'm like, I think I'm about a third of the way through the, like, down the line. And then sure enough, the next person. And it comes to me, and I remember having my arms crossed, and I just shook my head, and I went, no. And they fucking skipped me. I was the only person in like a group of 30 that not tell their personal fucking story. Like, I was like, I do not want to be a part of this at all. I was so uncomfortable. Funny. But it felt like that. You know where like that energy starts to feed off of each other? And then, so like that's that energy of like the motivational speakers, it feels like, where it's just like, oh, I got to tell my story. I don't want to talk about my mom, but you're making me talk about my mom. Like, all this shit.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I know you're having fucking flashbacks, too. Yeah,
I
am.
I just have to say it real quick. Okay. I went to church camp, too, and there was this part where it's like, really dramatic. The guy's, like, having this thing. He's, like, walking around with a mirror, like, look at yourself.
Oh, my God.
And then he throws the mirror down and shatters it. And, like, everyone just starts, like, crying, and it was just, like, it was fucking crazy. And I was, like, what the fuck is happening? But, yeah.
And, like, we've all seen it. Oh, God. Well, just the ones at Christian camp. Dude. Yeah. It's fucking... I wish we had more people that could follow us to
right?
Send in your crazy Christian camp. Nothing serious. If they touched you, I can't know about it. I need funny fucking stories, dude.
Send in your wild Christian camp stories. Right?
Like, and then he got drunk and pissed off the roof. Like, I want to hear those stories, not, like... And then he touched me. Like, no, I can't handle that kind of that kind of content. Thanks. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to cut all of that out. Okay. Okay. And then this was a quote from him. Like, they show him interacting with, like, a live audience type crowd thing. And this is, okay, this is almost an accurate quote because I couldn't keep up. I was trying really hard. Anyway, I was like, it was the fifth time I'd listened to it. Close I was like, enough. I'm fucking close. Okay. So, and, like, the seriousness and the way he's looking at her, you know, where he's, like, kind of leaning in, but he's above her and he's, like, just glaring at her.
Yeah.
Ugh. So he says, you see, so many times people ask me a question, not to get the answer, but to ask me questions to prove what they know. And you don't like that because I called you on your shit. But you know what? That's why you paid me money. So do you want to learn or do you want to stay where you are? And it was like, ugh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So, but, like... You know, the woman, I don't know, she's like, I'm here to learn. I'm here. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you make people jump through hoops? I can't. Yeah. Anyway. I really hated his fucking arrogance, but people seemed to respond well to the tough love approach. He did recognize that people had true transformations during challenges, so especially trust challenges. So this is, like, kind of where he started and then, like, how it evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But, so they would do, like, you know, the catch thing, but they would kind of do like, he would do like more extreme versions of it where they're like really high up and then they fall. Shit like that, you know, like where one woman's in a tree and she's like on a zip line, you know, she's safe, but she has to like leap across and grab like basically a trapeze bar thing, you know, shit like that. And then this is like where people were like, okay, it started to get really crazy around here. He said that it was two people that had a piece of rebar between them. And you, with your fucking neck, you would have to bend this piece of rebar. They're like struggling. Like, they're screaming on a microphone like, yeah, yeah, you can do it. And the whole crowd is like fucking, they're like ravenous almost. They're like, It's the wildest shit you've ever seen. Anyway, like, let me see. Walking across fire, sticking your hand in like a cage full of snakes, whatever. I was laughing. It was like, this sounds like fucking Fear Factor.
Literally.
So, but in his defense, he did push people to do things that they literally would have never done before. Yeah. Some of it's like too fucking crazy though. Yeah. Like rebar with your neck. No. Let's see. His fame really skyrocketed. And this is where like all credibility just goes out the window for me. But because personally, I never got into the book and I think it's hogwash. But like his, okay, so his fame really skyrocketed when he appeared on Oprah as part of the panel that was in the movie version of The Secret. Do you remember that book? The Secret?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. So if you want to know what The Secret is, it basically is like, if you think positive, positive things will happen to you. This is where I wanted to ask you if you wanted to tell your personal story about an asshole we used to know who you have.
Oh, yeah.
And if you were comfortable with sharing it in this one particular moment where he thought his positive thinking lecture would cure you.
Yeah, because I was like super sick whenever starting my period, and I have like endometriosis, cysts on my ovaries, like diagnosed by a doctor. Yeah. And I go into work, I'm like fucking dying, I feel so horrible, like it gets like really bad, like my legs go numb, you know. Shit like that.
It's like scary watching you be on your lady time, because it's like she's going to die.
I at some points feel like I'm literally gonna pass out. And it was one of those days, and what the fuck did he say? He's like, you know, Laura, sometimes
something
kind of like, crazy, like,
you gotta be positive, you know, like, and like, I think he probably told personal stories. Remember when he was like, I was on morphine,
yeah, I was trying to remember the story, like, I felt like he said something like, I just was like, I just sometimes when I feel sick, you know, it's just like all about that mindset, and then like you're not sick anymore or whatever, like, just like saying some shit like that, and I'm like, okay, well, I have fucking cysts on my ovaries and endometriosis, so I don't really think that this is like a mindset thing.
I just remember you telling me, like, he just kept, because, you know, he would ramble and, like, you couldn't stop him. Like, he was a fucking boulder in Indiana Jones. Like, it was coming for you and you couldn't stop it. And so he would just ramble on and on about positive thinking. And he would say that shit all the time. Like, I'm just so lucky because I'm so positive, you know? And that's like kind of what The Secret is like, laws of attraction. So like basically also saying, though, everything you've gotten, you've deserved. So if you're suffering out there, it's because you're not positive, bro. It kind of has the same feeling of religion. Of like, or like even something crazy like Scientology. Yeah. Like, oh, if your cancer didn't go away, it's because you weren't praying hard enough to Xenu or whatever. So kind of that. I just thought it was so funny, like thinking about that. And the I was
positive
like,
thinking.
Fucking Laura,
so
dude.
Fucking annoying. And then I remember too, when he was so sick that week, like,
oh yeah,
so fucking sick.
Grabbing his side fucking dramatically.
I just wanted to tell him, be like, think positive, bro. Like,
you can do it. Cause then when I came in, cause you left early too. And he was like, he was like, so what's up with Laura? I was like, I remember kind of going hard at him because I was annoyed that like he would fucking dare tell you that like your endometriosis was something you could just think your way out of.
Yeah.
And like I kind of lectured him. I was like, yeah, she's got cysts on her ovary. So it's like a period, but like 10 times worse, where it's like heavier. You feel like you're dying. And he was like, he got like kind of defensive. It's like, oh, I didn't know. Yeah. It was like, well, you know, I know you didn't know. Like, we know clearly you didn't have a fucking clue. Anyway, so, okay. Back to the fucking story. Sorry. So people freaked out about this book. And, dude, I didn't know. It's translated into 50 different languages.
Oh, God.
So, like, people love this fucking book.
Yeah.
Like, when he goes and meets people in the world, like, these girls were from Russia. They're like, oh, yes, I love The Secret. That was, I don't know if that was French.
Yeah, I think they
have
like a movie.
Russian. Sorry. I don't know. Jesus fucking Christ. Sorry.
They have like a movie about it too.
It is, because he's in it. He's like one of the people speaking in the movie. Well, the movie version of The Secret. So he goes on. Oprah like loves him so much. And like just the way they interacted was, it's just, knowing who this piece of shit is, it's like, I can't even look at you, like have a conversation with Oprah. Okay, but Oprah liked James so much that he got a call back the very next day to come back onto the show. He gathered such a huge fan following that they dedicated themselves to something called the World Health Society. These people would go on retreats and follow him all over the world. One man said it cost him and his wife over $100,000 in 1 year.
Oh my God.
Just to follow him around to Egypt, to Hawaii, to wherever the fuck he felt like going. James Arthur Ray was getting book deals. He was talking with like TV and movie producers. So, like, he was like about ready to blow up. I don't know. It was weird watching him in his own office because he has like his own quotes all over his office. I don't know. Is that weird?
That is weird. That reminds me of In the End of the Fucking World, where the dad's like, he like always like quotes like himself.
Really?
He's like, stop fucking quoting yourself. It's fucking weird.
It's this guy, dude. I think, I just remember his quotes were like everywhere. I was like, that's so fucking bizarre. Anyway, okay. So I'm so, Jesus Christ.
No, you're
fine.
I
swear to God, I'm going to try to go fast. Okay. Before the fall, before his fall, you know. He knew that what he was doing wasn't sustainable. He said that his events cost $250,000 to produce, like, each, and he said his company had to generate $6 million a year just to break even. So that's a lot of overhead, I think. I don't think he's thinking positive enough. In 2008, during the recession, he does admit to feeling frazzled. So he had a progression pyramid, and it's kind of silly, but there were steps that his followers had to go through to achieve spiritual warrior, which is like the highest level you can go to. So it starts with, it looked like I spelled Hermione. harmonic. Okay. It starts with harmonic wealth. Next step up, creating absolute wealth. Next step up, quantum leap. Next step up, practical mysticism. Next step up, modern magic. Last step, spiritual warrior. So he had people from harmonic wealth, which is the very, very, very first level. And he was like, I've never done this before, but this one-time offer, like a Billy Mays type special.
Yeah.
That he would allow them to take the spiritual warrior class without needing to go through all those other steps. So people were like, fuck yeah. But I don't think they knew like what they were getting into because they've like never really done this. Okay. So yeah, he was, I think, really desperate for cash because like apparently the retreats is where like the real money is for these like motivational speakers. So yeah, a lot of people just like wanted to jump on top. So there at the retreat, it was a lot of emotional group therapy stuff. He challenged people to go hardcore and like shave their heads. So within the first hour they're there, there are like people shaving their fucking heads.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like this whole like transformative process. So he's really good at convincing people to like take that next step. Cause you know, when people like stare at you in your eyes like that, they're like, what are you going to do about it? And you like, that fucking pressure.
Everyone else around you is the same.
There's already like some bitch getting her head shaved where it's like, I guess I'm fucking in it now. So yeah, he was just like so good at convincing people. And he still is. So the people there did say that up until the horrible sweat lodge incident, most people were having a really, like, really good emotional breakthroughs. Like, people were enjoying themselves. They felt like more powerful and strong and shit. So the only thing is the sweat lodge was supposed to be the final thing, the rebirth. So like they've gone through days of this, they've been fasting, meditating, all this shit. And now they're gonna go into the sweat lodge. So yeah, he said he called going into the sweat lodge as going back into the womb, and it was the hokiest little sweat lodge you've ever seen, dude. Like they show like the skeletal structure of it, like just these wood. It's like really, like, I don't know, short and wide.
Yeah.
And there's like no ventilation. It's just covered in plastic tarps. Yes. Like, and it's in the middle of the Arizona desert.
Oh,
like,
fuck
Jesus
that.
Christ,
yeah.
Right? So everyone was like really shocked because they were like, oh, yeah, here's the other thing. Yeah, it was a weird dome, plastic covered tarps, but they all spent $10,000 to be there. $10,000, and they're going into this bullshit.
This is what you built.
This is what you spent your fucking money on, bro. Like, it all went up your nose. We know it did. It didn't. But they all just assumed he knew what he was doing because this is $10,000. This is a professional. He's been on fucking Oprah. That has to mean something, right? So people were nervous because they were being packed into such a tiny space. Because one woman went in, she goes, oh, this isn't bad. And then they were like, no, you need to pack tight. And she goes, dude, I had like no room to move. Like I was smushed in this little fucking tent in the desert, you know, with tarp, just plastic covered it. No air ventilation. Like I said, the only air ventilation was like the door where everyone came in. Yeah, it just was not well thought out. And people said that they felt terrified because once the flaps closed, it's hot as shit. You're packed tight. Now it's dark as fuck. And then James had people bring in the hot rocks. So now they're bringing in hot fucking rocks and he's pouring water on it. So now it's this fucking like sauna. They're all like cooking like a fucking, I don't know, thing that goes in the oven and cooks. But they said that the general mood of the crowd was like literally distressed. Like one woman was like, people, like a couple girls like screamed because they were like so startled with how dark it was. Anyway, so he dumps a big bucket of water on the rocks. He makes everybody miserable. One woman described trying to get out of the tent and like they've been in there for a little bit. And then James like blocks her and is like, you can do it, you know, telling her to like, you know, nut up, I guess.
He was like, fuck no, let me out.
Just please, God, let me out. Because he said in the documentary, he's like, I'm trying to be a good mentor. I'm just trying to get people, you know, give them what they paid for. Whatever, dude. So there are some people that did manage to, like, get past him that were like, get me the fuck out of here. And they were, like, full of self-doubt. Then they feel bad, like, oh, I don't have what it takes. But it's like, no, you saved yourself. Good for you. And they said the temperature was probably around 120 degrees in the tent. Oh, yeah, dude. And it's wet, too. Okay. James Shore, a man that was just a participant in the tent, he alerted James that in the seventh round of torture, that a woman named Kirby Brown wasn't breathing or responding. And then he was told to not worry about her. They'd worry about her at the next round. So, like, he knows there's a woman who is not responding.
Yeah, it's like, oh, she's not breathing. She's fine.
Yeah, we'll get her the next round. She'll be all right. James's own assistant, her name was Liz, Liz Newman. And she was in the tent as well, but she was having trouble breathing. So someone told James, like, you know, she's not doing well. And then James, like, snaps back at her. Liz knows what she's doing. She's done this before. So the woman asks Liz, do you want to leave? But Liz, like, shakes her head no, but she's, like, barely responding, you know? So she doesn't know what to do because she's just been told to leave it. The woman said no. Like, what do you do? So when people finally did start leaving the tent, the woman said she was one of the last people to leave. She did not want to leave Liz Newman there by herself. But she said when she walked outside first, they said it was like startled, like bright, like to the point where it like hurt you. Yeah. Like, cause it was, they've been in this dark ass tent. Yeah. And then she said it was just like fucking chaos when she walked out. People are like crawling on the floor. Like everybody's everywhere. People are like throwing up. Like it's out of control. Yeah. So 911 is called. Three people were unresponsive and one person was burned. So apparently like this one guy is so disoriented. And this is so sad. He crawls into the hot rocks because he like doesn't understand what's going on because he's like so delirious. So people were panicked. One woman said it looked like a mass shooting had taken place. Like when the paramedics,
just, like, laying everywhere.
Yeah, everyone's just like laying. When the paramedics came, because they've just got tarps laid out for like who the most serious people are. And let me see. Yeah, just said everything was out of control. Oh, and she said the people that were unresponsive were taken first. So another woman kept asking the cops, like, have you heard any news from the people that went to the hospital? And he said that, like, two people were declared dead at that point.
Oh, my God.
So that's when, like, the police showed up because now it's like, well, fuck, this could be a homicide. And then people couldn't find James. They're like, where the fuck is he? Because he fucked off. He went back to his room. He could not be bothered to stay there and help assess the situation. He fucking bailed. So James argues it wasn't because he didn't want to be there. It was because he was tired from a long day. It's like, motherfucker, two people are dead.
Oh, you couldn't push through it? You couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't use that thinking, that mindset to be strong inside. Yeah. And then every time he gets bad news about his poor decisions, like, he always responds, like, in the documentary, he's always like, and I was like, what? Oh, my God. Because that was his response when police knocked on his door and said, like, hey, did you know we're here to respond to, as a homicide? And he literally goes, what? You fucking idiot. He's immediately put in contact with a criminal lawyer by, so his he calls his personal lawyer. He says, you need to get a criminal lawyer. So he gets in touch with his criminal lawyer. He says he doesn't know him. And he says that this lawyer that he wasn't familiar with told him to leave. And he makes a bunch of wimpy excuses in the movie. And he's like, well, my lawyer's telling me to leave. And well, what would you do? You know, he's making it seem like he had no fucking choice. And it's like, people are expecting you to fucking, like, handle it. So guests have to give depositions to the police. All of them are confused. They want answers. And all of them, every time, like, doors open, they're like, is it James? And it's never James. Because he's never fucking there. Because he's fucking bailed. So it's clear that it was an accident. But the question is, you know, he obviously got the hut too hot, clearly, and was in no position to, like, make that kind of decision. And there's kind of a lot of pressure to make it a, like, a criminal charge because of his notoriety, because he's pretty fucking famous. And police felt like James had really high powers of persuasion and therefore was more dangerous than he even realized. They played a tape of what he told participants. So he's, like, telling them, like, how terrible they're going to be feeling. Like, yeah, you're going to want to die, but it's okay. Like, he's telling them, like, it's all okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think it's okay. Yeah. He should be telling them, like, if you...
Stroke.
Yeah, like, if you feel like you're gonna die, like, you should go outside and take a little breather. But he's, like, trying to tell them, like, to fight through all these natural, you know, responses. So the state was trying to argue that he was a cult leader, and I do think that is too much of a stretch, because it sounded like it was a cult, but I don't think it was a cult. It was just a very, what did I put? Oh, passionately irresponsible is how I could put it.
It could be kind of, like, culty in the way that, like, he's like, I don't know.
So they just say, like, if he ever went cult,
it
would not fucking shock me, because I think he could easily fucking just go the way there.
That people, like, blindly follow him.
And, even some of the shit, dude, some of his devout fucking followers, one of them even, I don't think he meant to, he accidentally said he was like, James is like a god.
Yeah.
And it was like, here we go. Here we go. This is the beginnings of it. Anyway, okay. So he did end up going to jail. He only went to jail for 2 years, which is pretty sad for the victims and their families. He was ordered to pay $57,000 to each of the family members. To get back his image, he went on Piers Morgan. He goes on other talk shows, and basically it's like his apology tour. But his very first appearance on stage, and I was fucking furious when I saw this, because I was like, I think you're so fucking full of shit. So he, like, gets all teary-eyed and his voice is, like, cracking, and he's like, on October 8th, 2009, I lost 3 very good friends, or something like that. It's like, friends? They paid you $10,000 to be there.
Yeah. One of them, you said she's fine until the next round.
Yeah, like, you just left her in the fucking dirt, asshole. Yeah. And that's actually an argument, like, one of the victim's family members makes, or, like, such a good friend, you just left him there to die? Yeah, like, fuck you. Yeah. So none of the families are buying it, by the way. And him trying to relate is, like, the worst. You know, the way, like, I don't know where I wrote it. I'm probably going to come across it in a second. But, like, he literally reminds me, and I know you aren't super familiar with The Office, but, like, he literally reminds me of Michael Scott. Like, he is the Michael Scott of the motivational world. And I just need you to watch some Michael Scott clips to understand, and then watch him and be like, oh, they're the same fucking person. So, oh, and then he, like, talked about the grace of God and, like, how he's still here, and everyone, like, gave him a standing applause. Like, you know that dramatic, you ever feel that sense when people say something like they're expecting an applause and then the audience doesn't applaud?
Yeah.
And then it's, like, really awkward. And then, like, a couple people start to do it. And, like, everything was about him. Every time he apologized, it was, like, always about him.
Poor you.
So after he got out of prison and then back into speaking, the families, of course, were, like, very upset. Yeah. They were like, please don't speak to anyone or give anybody advice.
Yeah, dude.
All right, so James held... Sorry, this is the last page, I swear to God. James held an open house of sorts where people could ask him anything. So he would, like, invite people to come and they could ask him anything.
Yeah.
And It was so weird. Oh, I hate people like this. And again, you know the fucking kiss asses in church that do the same fucking thing. But this dude gets up and he's like, he comes up to James. They're like just chatting and eating. And he's like, you know, I was owed a hug from you back in 2009 and I'd really like to get it, man. And then James is like, yeah. And he like puts down his plate like, yeah, man, we're in it. Like, you know, we're like the bro hug where they're like, yeah, man, yeah. It was like this weird hug. Oh, it's so awkward to watch. Oh, it hurts so much. Like, I hated it. I hated every second of that hug. Oh, here we go. I put he is 100% the Michael Scott of motivational speaking. And I really think he is. Because he does this dramatic thing and he's like, how do we expand awareness? And then he doesn't say anything. And then he writes in all caps, expansion, experience, expression. But it's like quiet and it's just the squeak of the marker. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? It really reminded me of Michael Scott. That's funny. And then, like, a woman, of course, inevitably, like, kind of goes after him at about the spa. And he gets really smart with her. And she goes, like, I feel like you're picking and choosing your moments or something like that. Yeah. And, like, and then he thinks he's, like, being a badass. And he's, like, because she brings up the deaths. And he's, like, are you objectively against death? And she's, like, what? No. And he's trying to make the argument that, like, event people, everybody dies.
What?
That's literally his fucking argument. I was like,
fucking sweat lodge.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, it doesn't work for murderers either. Yeah. Like, sorry, well, I know I shot him in the face, but he was gonna die anyway. Like, and what's the big deal? I could not believe that was his fucking.
I bet he doesn't even feel bad. Like,
no, I do not. Because every time he, like, his voice breaks and it's like, it just feels like you rehearsed this.
Yeah.
It feels like you sat in front of your mirror and, like, tried to give your best pouty face, you know? Yeah. So this, like, really pissed me off. In 2017, a judge restored his right to vote and hold public office. I don't know why, but luckily he did deny the request to set aside the three convicted counts of negligent homicide. He was trying to get that erased and it was like, bitch, and this is 2017, it's been 8 years, and you're like, he shouldn't have given you fucking anything back. I don't think, you know, I know someone who sold shrooms when they were 19. They'll never be able to vote again. They'll never be able to travel outside the country, really, because like the biggest thing he wants to do is travel internationally to spread his good word of himself. And yeah, because like when you have a felony, you can't really travel. So I think that's it. I think he just wants to be able to hop on a plane and go wherever the fuck he wants. So this is the biggest reason why I felt like his apology was complete and total bullshit. The fact that he tried to get that erased, and he's always on about responsibility and remember, I call you on your shit, you know? And like, and he even says like, you know, for the first time in US history, an accident was treated as a criminal charge or something like that. And it was like, what?
No.
I did the oil spill. That was also an accident. He got convicted of shit. Like, this accidents every today, I'm sure there were 100 cases across the U.S. where an accident was charged.
The word manslaughter?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you fucking idiot. Oh, he's so stupid. And then, you know, he like starts to, or he talks about taking responsibility, like, ultimately I'm responsible. But then he says something like, and there were people that we paid good money to do their jobs, but ultimately am responsible. It's like, oh, how big of you. You took real responsibility there, bud. Such a fucking dick. So anyway, he feels that since his work was never on trial, he shouldn't have this, that he should have the same freedoms as those that didn't kill three people in a sweat lodge. So all of his apologies typically land on the idea that he was the true victim and how hard it's been on him, and he has yet to contact the families personally apologize to them. So that was James Arthur Ray. I'm so sorry. That went so long.
No, it's okay.
But yeah, that's the tip insane. Of the fucking iceberg with this guy. He is bananas. he reminds me of a fucking youth pastor. Like, I can't with him. I can't. Ugh. So
yeah, I hate people like that. It was giving me those weird vibes too of that other weird like cult guy who they made that show about with whatever the fuck. Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking weird. I think we watched it or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, and there was like another thing. There was a podcast called Guru, and they cover him, but I didn't get a listen to it. But I think it's an interview with the mom of Kirby Brown. Yeah. So that was really sad. And I'm sure they were all beautiful, delightful people, but their time was cut short. So
crazy.
Whew. Whew, all right, man. Are you ready for yours now that I've
Mine is much shorter, and then like it's also a little more like just like facts.
That's okay.
Like detail oriented. Okay, so today I will be doing the murders of Donna Jean Anthony and her two children, Danielle and Richard Romero. Or yeah, I think that was their last name. Yeah. So they were killed by David Lamar Anthony. And okay, yeah, so sorry. So on July 7th, 2001, Donna and her two kids had planned to go to Ohio for a family visit. However, they would never check in for their flight, and they would later be reported missing by family. The last person who saw them was Anthony, and he claimed that they had left the house that morning and they were fine. He would later be charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder, although the bodies had not yet been recovered at the time of the trial. Mm. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy that this case, I guess, like, they just had, like, all this, like, circumstantial evidence, basically.
Yeah.
And he got, like, convicted for the murders, and then they, like, later on ended up finding their bodies, kind of a thing. Yeah, so this is all of the stuff, though, that, like, I guess, like, in the courts that they, like, used against him. Donna and Anthony got married in 1997. Danielle and Richard were 2 children from her previous marriage. Their marriage was rocky from the start. Apparently, they, like, argued a lot. There was, like, signs that he'd been cheating on her, just, like, not a good relationship in general. So I guess she also didn't trust him financially. And when they refinanced their home in 2000... she instructed the mortgage officer, like, not to release the loan proceeds to David. And then she took the money. It was, like, $105,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And deposited it into her personal savings account that he had, like, no access to. And that's so this was, like, yeah. So this is, like, late 2000. And they ended up dying, like, 2001. So June 5th, 2001, Donna buys the plane tickets to Ohio for her and her children. Their flight was supposed to leave on July 7th. Just 3 days later, like 3 days after she buys the tickets, someone changes the PIN on her Bank One account, which is the account that she had all this money in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so David had planned to buy a pickup truck this same week, but he delayed closing until July 7th. And he told the salesman, like, oh, yeah, I'm expecting some money to come in. Like, I should be getting, like, this money or whatever, which is literally, like, the day they're, like, they go missing. Yeah. And then he also scheduled a carpet cleaning service for July 9th, which is kind of fucking weird. Yeah.
I can see why they thought maybe it was him.
Yeah. So on July 6th, Donna comes home from work, and I guess she works 2 jobs, so she, like, gets home, just, like, passes out and falls asleep, and I guess apparently David was also home. And then at 6:51 p.m., a call from her cell phone transfers the $84,000 from her Bank One account into into David's account, and whoever called used that PIN that was created on June 28th, which they assume was him, because...
Yeah, it's such a stupid question. Probably don't know. They didn't say how he was able to verify a PIN change.
I don't know. That's what, like, I was wondering.
Impressive.
Yeah. Unless I guess, I mean, it was like almost 20 years ago. So
don't say that.
Maybe it was just like easier. Like he just like called and did
I
it.
I wonder.
It
like, yeah. Like,
yeah. Cause I was thinking that too. I'm like, man, like, how did they change the PIN and how did she not know? But like, I guess
it was probably so much easier to hack back then.
Yeah.
Right.
2000. That's what I would think. Yeah. Yeah.
You could still plagiarize shit and be okay.
Yeah. You're like, oh, my wife signed this for me. I'm changing the pen.
Yeah, probably.
Yep. So, yeah. So, after her nap on July 6th, she wakes up. She goes to work. She worked at the post office. She clocked out at 2:18 a.m. on July 7th. And then at 3:30 a.m., her credit card was used at a gas station that was close to their house. Or, like, in between the house and the post office. Mm-hmm. So then at 5:57 a.m., her phone calls Bank One again 3 times. And then I guess it calls, like, her voicemail 3 times or something like that.
Huh.
And then it's, like, never used again. It just is like after that it's like cut off, like she doesn't call anyone else. Yeah. So and then that's like, you know, 5:57, so then just like 2 hours, an hour later, they're supposed to be on a plane at 7:30 to go to Ohio, but they so they never board their flight. So her family's like worried, obviously, because they're expecting them all to show up. They don't show up, so they try contacting David because it's her fucking husband. He's home. He's not answering the phone. He won't reply to anyone. So then they're like, okay, we're gonna just call the fucking sheriff's office, law enforcement, whatever, and have them go and check in. So on July 8th, Maricopa, I think that's what it's called, county sheriff's office.
Oh, Maricopa County.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so they go to the Anthony residence, where David, I guess, you know, they show up and he's just like, seems like very, like, unfazed that they're missing. And he's just like, oh, like, okay, like, we don't really need to look for them, kind of a thing. And
Jesus, bro. Like, you play it cool, but not too cool. Fuck.
Like, literally, they said he was just so relaxed.
Yeah.
And then after they leave, he goes and finishes buying that truck.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, really make sure they know it's you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So then, I guess, on the 9th, they find Donna's truck in a parking lot, like a supermarket parking lot. The doors are unlocked. The keys are in the ignition. I guess they said that there was, like, some kind of, like, desert brush and crap, like, under the car when they, like, examined it. Yeah, so then the day that the car is found, he goes and buys a new mattress. He pays cash for it, and then he gave the store that he bought it from a fake name and a fake address.
Oh, my God, bro.
And he had, like, cleaners come to the house, and he was like, oh, yeah, you guys clean, really focus on the baseboards and the walls. Like,
oh, my God, this dude is fucking, is his IQ 7? He's so stupid.
That's how I feel. Like, everything's like, oh, yeah, I definitely.
Let me just hang a banner that says I killed them.
Literally. Yep, so, yeah, when the because he had scheduled that carpet cleaner thing on the 9th or whatever, when they showed up, I guess one of them helped him move out, like, the old mattress. And then he told them that his dog had bled on the office carpet, and he asked them to clean it and said that he tried to remove the stain himself, but, like, he couldn't. He's like, so I really need you guys to, like, get that up. It's really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so when the sheriffs arrived at the residence again, like, on their, it didn't say a date, but they end up showing up again, and they say, like, the house is, like, spotless, that the carpet's been cleaned, like, they can tell, and that it smelled, like, strongly of Pine Sol, like, the whole house. Like, So, Anthony, as I said, he asked them not to list Donna as missing because she'll be angry if, you know, they end up finding her and detaining her again. Like, just makes no fucking sense. And then that same evening, he goes and buys a new washer and dryer and a vacuum cleaner. So he's just buying, like, all new appliances.
Weird shit, you know, like, the weird as seen on TV shit. He's just got a cart full of it, like, the Aggie. And I don't know, a thing for your closet.
I'm like, why is he? Yeah, it's fucking weird. He, like, gets all this money, just starts buying, like,
he's got a skateboard. Whatever the fuck else.
Yep. So, so detectives question David. He says that Dawn and the children had left at 5 to 5:30 a.m. on the 7th. And that he said, you know, like, oh, you know, sometimes she would carry large amounts of money and she would wear expensive jewelry. So maybe she just drove through the wrong neighborhood or something.
What?
Yeah. And then he claimed that because they, like, saw, obviously, like, this whole money transfer thing and all of that. He's like, oh, we actually transferred that together, like, into the bank account, and that they didn't have any marital problems. Everything was, like, fine between them. So, from July 17th to the 19th, the sheriff's office or whatever, they executed a search warrant. Is that the right word? I don't know. On Anthony, on the Anthony residence. They took samples of the carpeting, the drywall, and tested bedding. They tested, I guess, like, visible and non-visible blood stains with, like, luminol and shit like that. Where they found the new mattress, obviously, like, notice that he has, like, new bedding, new mattress, all this crap. And then they go and look in Danielle's room, which was the daughter. She was, like, 14 at the time. And they find, like, new bedding on her bed as well. So they go and they like look in like the trash cans, and they find a 2-liter bottle of Pine Sol, rubber gloves, and 2 knives, I guess. They found like traces of blood on them, but it was like too degraded for them to test. Yeah. So it was just like a...
Yeah.
Oops. Okay. So in the master bedroom, they found small drops of blood. And I thought this was like really weird because I was reading like actually like his appeal, and they had like all the evidence that they had had against him on the appeal.
Yeah.
And it said it was the total volume of blood was about the size of a sugar cube or something like that.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But they found it on the wall behind the bed, and it was Donna's blood. The DNA of a second person was also found, but it was like one of those things where like they couldn't exclude someone and they couldn't conclude with someone.
Darn it.
Yeah. So as well as carpeting to the right of the bed tested positive for blood. In the home office where his dog bled, the carpet tested positive and had even soaked the concrete slab underneath. That was Danielle's blood.
Whoa.
In Richard's room, the little boy, he was 12. Oh. His mattress, box spring, body pillow, and wall all tested positive for his blood.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. There was just like blood all over this house. It was like the kitchen, like the hallway door.
What the
like,
fuck did he do?
The hallway outside the children's rooms. Oh. And like it was pretty crazy because like I'm reading like all like I wasn't gonna write it down because it was just like blood fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
But a state expert testified that like it was such a small amount of blood that they found like left over, like probably because he cleaned the shit out of the fucking house, that it wasn't like enough to conclude that someone had died or like hadn't died, kind of a thing. But there's just like traces of blood everywhere from all three of them.
That's a lot. Dude, look, we have a 12-year-old. I can't say she's ever sprayed blood in the kitchen, in the living room, under baseboards. Never.
Yeah. Okay. And then the car that they had found in the parking lot, they checked it, and they only recovered 5 fingerprints in the entire car, which they're like, this is fucking weird.
There's
like,
kids. There's
People. Like, obviously, it was, like, cleaned. So, then they, like, actually test the car for blood. And I guess, like, the driver's door, the door panel, the steering column, the back passenger seat, the bed liner, and the tailgate all tested positive for blood. And on the tailgate and bed liner, they found Donna and Danielle's, like, DNA.
Jesus.
Yeah. So.
Oh my God.
Also, it was, like, fucking gross. Was on Danielle's mattress, the little girl, they found semen and blood mixed together, which they like think that he like molested her and possibly like a motivation for killing her, but like that was like I don't know, kind of like
this is a bad man.
Yeah. So and then I guess too like a small part of the trial, they had like a lot of evidence like kind of like pointing towards that, like just like him like being like fucking disgusting. He had like
semen on her bed.
Yeah,
that's hard to explain away.
Yeah, and apparently he had a vasectomy, but they found like a whole bunch of like condoms like flushed down like the septic tank.
What
and
the
then
fuck?
She had also like mentioned to family members that like she really hated him, that he was like her least favorite person.
Oh boy.
And, there was like a time I guess someone said that they saw him touch like her inappropriately like while they were playing basketball and just he was like fucking nasty.
This poor woman.
Yeah. So also they found a .38 revolver in an air vent like in the house like that, and it had been cleaned like and was hidden. So
yeah.
Yep. So he was indicted on August 10th, 2001, and the state filed to seek the death penalty. He was found guilty on April 1st, 2002. And then on October 18th, 2005, construction workers contracted to work on a Walmart. They were like building a Walmart. They found 2 trash drums hidden under a tree in Buckeye, which was like 40 miles from Phoenix. So police are called and they come to investigate the scene, and they find the skeletons of Donna and Danielle in the barrels. Mm-hmm. So then they start searching the whole area, and I guess like they're like using a metal detector because they're obviously trying to find the boy's body. And they find another drum, and inside they said they're like 99% sure that it was the body of Richard, who was just like 12 at the time. Yep. So apparently David had tried to appeal his conviction, and it actually,
come on, bro.
Yeah, which they, it actually like succeeded, like, because that's where I like got all this information from.
Yeah.
So he does the appeal. He gets a new trial.
Unbelievable.
And he gets sentenced to death September 12th because he goes to trial again. They find him guilty again, and this time they sentence him to death. They're
like, no, you're right. We did need a do-over.
Yeah. Yep, but he ended up dying December 7th, 2012, before they could ever kill him.
That's okay. At least he died.
Yeah, and it was natural causes. He was 64.
Oh, and what a piece of shit.
And then before I forget, my sources, I don't know how to say this word, but it was like PeoriaTimes.com. It's just like, I think like a local newspaper or something.
Yeah.
And then caselaw.findlaw.com. That's where like I read like the appeal of the state versus Anthony, and then Murderpedia.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my information about this dude.
Foo doggy. That's a bad time. Oh, that sucked. How old was the little girl?
14. And then the little boy was 12.
And how long had he been doing that? I don't think he'll save it till I murder her. No.
Yeah, well, like, something said that they thought that the blood, like, mixed with the semen was, like, actually, like, menstrual blood or something like that. And, like, yeah, it was really fucking gross and just...
My God.
Yeah, it's just, like, a gross story in general. And I couldn't believe he's, like, I hate when... There's, like, so much evidence pointing towards him, and he's still like, yeah, I'm not guilty kind of a thing. It's just, like, and arrogant. Even if you, like, yeah, look at the picture of the dude, he just looks fucking creepy, but...
Yeah, okay, then I'll make sure I post a picture of him, because I don't want to post a picture of my guy. He's such a piece of shit.
Just, he'd probably smug. Love it. No.
He probably would. He'd probably want... Could you add a quote to that?
Yeah. Okay, I remember this while we were, like, telling our stories. I didn't want to forget. Okay. But you heard about the whole Alec Baldwin thing, right?
Poor Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear about what fucking little douchebag Trump Jr. was like doing?
Yes.
Like the shirts.
Oh, I don't know about the shirts. I saw his weird Twitter quote. It was like, are you for fucking real?
Was it the like, guns don't kill people, Alec Baldwin kills people? He started selling shirts that say that.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I just was thinking about
that. Is that what high society does? All that money and you cannot afford manners. I just, to have decency and class, because that woman is dead.
Yeah, like, I know. I was like, dude.
Family's planning a funeral.
And it hasn't even
been
like a fucking like week barely, and you're like already selling t-shirts?
And you're profiting off of this girl's death.
Like, yikes. Yeah.
Ugh.
But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I was just like, oh.
Yeah, he's a monster. I fucking hate. Which one was it? Which douchebag son?
I don't fucking know. He's.
Well, Don Jr., I think, is the worst.
Yeah.
Like, he is. He's just a douchebag. He's the one that went to. Was it Mongolia? He shot some really like rare. It's like on the endangered species list. He like shot this sheep, and he didn't have a tag for it because they do set aside X amount that can be shot every year for, you know, the big men that are strong and shoot things from afar. So like he shoots this thing and then he gets the permission for it after he comes back. Shit like that, you know, where it's like anybody else would have gotten in massive fucking trouble for that.
Like, fine.
But your daddy was president at the time, so you just got to do whatever. It just, God, I fucking
annoying.
Hate those kids. They're fucking worthless. You should watch the John Oliver talking about the Trump kids. It's...
Okay.
Fucking hilarious, dude. Because like Ivanka would like appear on, because you know Trump ran the beauty pageant for a long time. I think he like owns it, right? It's like her, she's like, I bet my brothers loved that, and like, back to you or something, and they're like, you're talking about your brothers like getting horny for these fucking girls, like, that's so weird. So that whole family is fucked. All right. Well, we did it.
Yep.
I know you're excited to go see your family.
I am.
And this has gone on long enough. I've been doing this for an hour and a half.
Wow.
So, yeah. All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.